Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland's Inflammatory Bowel Disease Program, a multidisciplinary care service dedicated to relieving symptoms and improving the quality of life of IBD patients. For more information, 1-800-492-5538. You can go up to steinershow.org and click on the University of Maryland Medical Assistance banner. I also want to remind all of you that are listening here to WEAA Now, we want to thank all of our listeners who made their investment into WEAA and the Mark Steiner Show during our drive. It was a great drive. We did very well in this program and on the station. However, I got to tell you that we fell a little short of our overall goal. Overall goal was $150,000, and we still want to make that goal. This is your station, and it needs the money. It's your public radio. You can help build the news department, build the station's local programming, and also make the redo the tower, which will allow our signal to go way beyond where it is now, all the way to D.C. and up into Pennsylvania and down into parts of Anne Arundel County and west, and really spread this signal. And you can make that possible because this is your station. So all of you who have not pledged your support to WEAA, we invite you to do so now. Just go to WEAA.org. It's a secure online pledge. WEAA.org and make a difference. Become part of your station. We are, this first hour of the Mark Steiner Show, we're going to have a discussion between the three candidates who are running for city council in the district where Morgan State University sits, which is the third councilmatic district. There are a number of contested seats in this general election. Sometimes you wouldn't even know there was a general election going on, but lack of news covering this general election. But there is a general election happening. Two writing candidates, one who almost won her election, but lost by just a few votes, Shannon Sneed, will be on here tomorrow. Her opponent will not go on the air with her, Mr. Branch, but she'll be here, as will Michael Johnson. In a two write-in campaigns, will be here to discuss their campaigns, and their opponents won't be here, but they will be. But now all the candidates for the third councilmatic district are in the studio. We have with us Councilman Bobby Curran. Bobby Curran has been on the council since 1995. He's running for re-election as a Democrat. He sits here in the studio. Bill Berry is with us. He's Director of Labor Studies at the Community College of Baltimore County, but obviously lives in the city. He's a Green Party candidate for the 3rd District of the Baltimore City Council. Gary M. Collins is the Republican Party candidate for the 3rd District of the City Council of Baltimore City. And gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you all here.
Thank you, Mark.
Good, Mark.
So let me just start this way, and I'll start. We're not pulling straws. I'm just going to do this in like alphabetical order by last name in this first question. And we just go at it, and feel free just to jump in and out. I'll keep it polite, but we're not going to have any time there. So we're just going to discuss things together. All right. And folks, I want you to join us, by the way, at 410-319-8888. This is a huge district. We sit in the middle of it, or at least in it. We want you to join us with your questions and thoughts. And I don't care if you live in Annapolis or Washington, D.C. You might care about who's running in Baltimore because it could affect your lives as well. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow.org. This might sound specious, but it's not. Why does it make any difference who sits in this council seat? What power would you have, and what do you do with it? Why does it make a difference who sits in that seat? And Bill Berry, you're the B.
I think it makes a huge difference. And I think one of the things is that the attitude of the council that we're just rubber stamps for the mayor is wrong. And I run to challenge that. I think the other thing is that the raising and spending of revenues, this is a district, and we've been through all parts of it, which is in flux and not good flux. As we go out there, more vacant houses, more problems. The city needs to raise revenues, and the council and the mayor for decades have been giving away tax revenues to the large developers downtown. And in some cases, they've been able to make it up by federal money and state money. Those days are gone. And so now they're cutting. The rec centers are being cut. The fire stations are being closed. All these city services that we need to keep people in the city. And we've lost 30,000 people over the last 10 years. The schools, tremendous attraction for keeping people in the cities. Employment. And the city council has sat there and fiddled while the city of Baltimore burned.
Gary Collins?
You know, this seat is vitally important. What we've seen really over the course of the past few years is, you know, people who are becoming frustrated. We see that by the remarkably low turnout, the early voting, which is currently going on, which we're seeing the numbers now. you know, people are frustrated, and people are frustrated because their voices are not being heard. And that's why, you know, I decided to throw my name into the race, because I want to bring the voice of the people to City Hall. You know, people are concerned about crime. You know, we have a solution that was proposed by the councilmen that people should call 911 to report any sort of activity and say there was a gun involved. That's the solutions that the current people who are holding office are providing, and the people of Baltimore are tired of that.
Bobby Kern.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank Mark, yourself, and EAA 88.9 for hosting us here today. Morgan State University is a gem in my district, and I'm working with the vision of Dr. Wilson, especially for the redevelopment of Northridge Shopping Center, obviously the old Heckinger building is down, and Dr. Wilson has a vision for the strip mall. And I'm working with Dr. Wilson and the administration, working to help them best I can. And I mention that because your city council person is basically about land use issues, how you empower the communities, the business communities, and the residence communities through land use issues. And that's a concept that you really need to have a hold of if you run for city council in Baltimore. And that's basically what I've done over the years. My 15 years in office, I've empowered the communities basically through land use issues. You can look at the Hartford Road corridor, compare it to Blair Road versus York Road. We're moving forward on the Hartford Road corridor. But land use issues also is about empowering communities, such as the communities just west of the studio we sit, Prairie Rock Covenant, Prairie Rock Community, Stonewood, Winston, Pentwood. And in the issue with the parking with Morgan State students in their areas, and this is pertinent because we're at Morgan State right now, working with those communities, we've reduced the hours that they can park to 1 hour in the communities, and they can't park more than 1 hour in the entire catchment area of over there. So we're working with the communities. I feel good about my position. Unfortunately, the other gentlemen don't have a record to run on. I do have a record, and I will stand up for anything I say, and I'll answer questions about anything you say, and talk about the land use issues I've done over the years, and citywide issues which I've taken on over the years. You mentioned, obviously, and maybe not a favorite of yours, but I was a lead sponsor of the smoking ban that makes folks go to bars and restaurants, and made the state of Maryland do the same by having the smoking ban in the city. I've taken on predatory towing issues where people get towed from private property and try to rein in the towing issues. And most recently, I'm working with animal abuse issues, and I will end animal abuse in this town. I'm chairman of the Health Committee of the Baltimore City Council now. We've introduced a bill that we'll be hearing next week or 2 weeks on the 15th that will reconstitute the animal code, and we will stop animal abuse in the city. So I feel that I've done my job at home in the district and in citywide issues.
So all three of our candidates think that this makes a difference. Let me go to the phones, 410-319-8888. Emails are coming in as well. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. And we'll read your email of Nick in a minute, but let's go first to a caller who called in immediately, 410-319-8888. And Casey in Baltimore City, you're on the air.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Very well. Welcome, Casey.
The first thing I got to say is, you know, let's be serious with one another. I mean, the Northwood Shopping Mall, you know, you haven't done anything with it before. Why should we think you're going to do anything with it now? It's been available. I mean, there are so many empty spaces that have been available there for years. Morgan hasn't been pushed to the point to where they need to do construction until there was a murder over there. I intimately know that the people that own that strip mall have no intentions on doing much renovations to it. BDC isn't helping in the very least to do any type of facade improvement, commit any community legacy funding to there. What really makes me think that you would do something to assist in that if you haven't done anything already?
Well, I think, even though it was directed to Bobby, let me just go in a little bit of order here so people will have a chance to respond. And we'll start with Gary and then go to Bobby and then over to Bill. Is that okay? Go ahead, Gary.
You know, Casey brought up a good point. And, you know, the councilman began his introduction by saying that, you know, the council is one of the key elements of the city council's land use issues. I certainly agree with that. However, you know, when I've been walking in our neighborhood, the things that are really affecting people's lives is quality of life issues. We're talking about high property taxes in the city that's affecting the quality of life. We're talking about the crime in Northeast Baltimore, the criminal activity in our city. My car has been broken into twice during this election. I mean, just as a point of reference. These are quality of life issues that people really care about. Not to say that some of these land use issues are relevant, not to diminish that, but we need to really bring this conversation back to what's really affecting the quality of life of each and every resident in the 3rd District.
So, and Bobby, I go to you next. I mean, what the caller was saying was that it might be well and good that you have you like the president of Morgan State University and like what they've been doing, but they're not doing much over there and had to be pushed and haven't been pushed, I think is what he's saying.
Well, first of all, for Casey's reference, I live about 300 yards west of Northwood Shopping Center since 1959. I'm quite familiar with the shopping center, frequented many times when the Heck Company was there, the Northwood Theater was there. We had 2 grocery stores there, the food fair. My first job was at the food fair grocery store in 1969.
Well, I had a job in the food fair too, but what about now?
I mean, I'm familiar with the Northwood Shopping Center now. I want to tell you, Mark. There was a meeting today with the new developers coming in. They have a proposal on the table. I'm not going to allude to that now because you don't want to violate their confidentiality. We worked with then Mayor Sheila Dixon in her shopping center initiatives that we were going to bring a TIF tax incremental financing to that site. A TIF is what we used basically downtown for other big developers, yes, but it's come out to us in Northeast Baltimore. We're going to try to use the tax incremental financing to move the development on there. And obviously, you got to remember, it's private property. It's somebody's private property. I'm not going to go in there. You can't go in there and tell them, hey, you got to close this store. You got to open that store. There's property rights in America, if folks forget that. But we're working with the developer, Councilwoman Mary Pat Kroc and I, we're working with the developers to bring that shopping center to fruition, working with the Hill and Road Improvement Association for improvements over there. And it's a process in the works. And I'm not going to be able to expand on what the vision is for what the developers have because I could queer their confidentiality on that. But things will move forward north of the shopping center. And believe me, Senator Conway lives about 300 yards south. Delegate Kurt Anderson lives about 400 yards north. I live 300 yards west. The state people, elected officials, and myself are quite aware about Northwood Shopping Center. I'm quite familiar with the shopping center for the last 52 years, so we're working on it.
Bill Berry.
Well, I think to go back to what the councilman said, yeah, he's got a record to run on. And I think Casey's absolutely right in saying, yeah, we hear all this talk, but show me results. You know, it's like Peter the Orioles. It's great, sounds great. I would also add, I think TIFs are dangerous. TIFs are destructive. You look at East Baltimore, they've got hundreds of millions of dollars in TIFs over there. They are tax giveaways to rich developers who contribute to the council's campaigns, and they take money away. They close recreation centers. They let schools crumble. They let highways go bad. And it is the pattern that has been followed that people leave the city as a result. People don't stay in the city because of parking signs. People stay because of schools. People stay because of quality of life. People stay because the property is good. It's a good place to live. And everything we've heard here today says the council, this district, needs to have a completely different set of priorities in order to serve the residents of the 3rd District and the residents of the city of Baltimore as a whole. And he's got a record. Let him answer for it.
And the next round of questions, we'll start with Bobby Kearns. We can just say what he wants there. 410-319-8888. Now, I have some questions following up, but a lot of folks are calling in. We have some emails, and I want to get to your calls now. 410-319-8888 as we talk to the 3 men who are running to become the next. Bobby Kearns is sitting there now, city council representatives from the 3rd District. Bill Berry is the Green candidate. Gary Collins is a Republican candidate. Bobby Kearns is a Democratic candidate who sits in the council now. Shirley in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hello to all. I hope everyone's doing good.
Welcome.
I just got just a simple comment. You know, I hear promises. It is time for somebody to step up and do something for Baltimore. We need fresh face, new blood, new ideas. So I'm hoping you Mr. Collins, if you're listening, that you can do something for Baltimore. Because what's being done right now, Baltimore is not going nowhere. So I just sent a plea out to the listeners. Step out the box. Don't look at a person, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. Look at the individual and see what they can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. Bobby.
Well, she was making a comment, and obviously she has her rights to Republican Party. Probably has some phone calls today. I'm sure the Green people have some phone calls today. I didn't orchestrate any phone-in today. But that's her comment, and if she feels that Mr. Collins is the best choice, then that's her preference.
You know, I want to add to that. That is actually absolutely crazy. And that, to me, you know, that's another reason why I'm running, is a sense of arrogance in City Hall. And actually, Bill Berry alluded to that as well. There seems to be a rubber stamp and a sense of arrogance and a sense of, I'm here, I've always been here, and this is my seat. So honestly, for the record, the Republican Party has not orchestrated any phone calls. I have no idea who Shirley is. Thank you, Shirley, for your support. I do appreciate it. But the Republican Party hasn't orchestrated phone calls, nor have I. So let's get the record straight on that.
I have nothing to add. Good luck. I mean, I'm glad to get these callers. We have not orchestrated any calls either, and I think it's outrageous to say that.
410-319-8888. Allende, in your car, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to everybody.
Good afternoon.
These questions are to the gentleman that's the incumbent that talks about what he's done with the land, and to those who are running for the elected office. Number one, the people in Baltimore City are just fed up with politicians in general, especially those who have made a political career out of the seats that they hold. The caller that came before me, she was quite right. You think you own the seat. You think because you've been in there 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, that the seat belongs to you. Well, it don't belong to you. It belongs to the people.
Absolutely.
And all of you keep forgetting that. And when these people in Baltimore City wake up and get a real political consciousness about how the political machine operates and the political process, they're going to roll your asses out of office one by one and put some people in from the grassroots level who really care about the issues and concerns of the people. Now, for those who, the one who's already in office, who's talking about running on his record, and those who are now running for office, I want you to answer these questions real quick. Number one, the one who was in office, did you ever put forth any kind of legislation to call for a federal investigation when Robert Clay was murdered? Did you put forth any kind of federal legislation asking the FBI or the Department of Justice to come in and do a federal investigation when a police officer in Baltimore City was killed down in that nightclub by his own police officers? Did you do that?
All right.
And last but not least, well, either the one that's in office or the one who's running for elected office, will you put forth any legislation that calls for term limits or are you going in the Baltimore City Council so that we can continuously get fresh blood to come in there who are inspired and motivated to work for the people and stop working for their own selfish ends and working for the status quo? Can you do that?
All right, Andy, thank you so much. Let me start with this, if I might. And I want to go in the round robin I started just to keep things even. And Bill was going to pop up next in this round of questions and then goes right over to Bobby Kern and then over to Gary Collins. But you can jump in on this. I mean, I think that there is a one of the spirit of the questions is, and I'm curious what you think, is that when you talk about people should be moved out of office after a while, that they stay there too long, they get stale in office. But clearly, something is happening that the voters of Baltimore are not turning out.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't turn out in the primary. And if you go by how many people are voting now in this district in voting early, nobody's showing up.
Well, I think it's the Democratic Party, and we heard a little bit of it on your show yesterday, voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they set the election to run on an off year. And the first time I ran in 2004, there was a huge voter turnout because the city council election was the same time as the federal election, and people who showed up voted. state makes it almost impossible for a third party to get on the ballot. The ballot restrictions, the petition problems, and things like that. We had had to go to court to get a line on the ballot this time. And so there is a goal, and I heard the O'Malley mandering of congressional seats and things like that, to deny people the opportunities to be represented in their own communities. And I think it's systematic and it's intentional. They don't want people to vote because the few people who do vote out of party loyalty or for the incumbent or because they work for the city and the state and they're told by their employers, look, you want to work here, it's a Democratic city, you will go vote Democratic. And until that changes, we were involved earlier this year, interestingly enough, in trying to get a charter amendment on the city council referendum this year for term limits. We were looking at two terms for exactly that reason. But it is true. And I think what you've heard in this last caller is the anger and the frustration that I have seen as I've gone door to door. Without exception, people are really worked up. And whether that will translate into their showing up to vote, whether that'll show up for their working for candidates who are not in office, I cannot predict. But there's no question that this is a very, very unhappy district.
Bobby Curran.
Well, first of all, to answer the gentleman's call in question, I for certain one don't think I own the seat. I worked as hard as I ever worked in this primary election. I did drop over 11,000 houses, mailed 6,000 houses of pieces of literature, door knocked maybe 300 hours over the weekend, had more signs out. I worked hardest I've ever had because Mr. Van Hook was a very, very credible opponent in the primary, and I'm quite proud that I received 68% of the vote in the hardest election I ever worked in for myself or any members of my family. First of all, he mentioned about legislation supporting the investigation of the Robert Clay and the other issue that he mentioned. Well, back two terms ago, I co-sponsored a resolution through the City Council of Councilman Norman Handy, a.k.a. Kwame Abiyoni. I had his name changed to look into the Marshall Eddie Conway issue. That was a murder of a policeman many years ago by a black gentleman, and they thought it was done wrong, and he received prison terms. I was the only Caucasian to co-sponsor Abiyoni's resolution. Took a lot of heat from the FOP for that. So I have a history of doing things of that nature. You talk about the dismal turnout. Obviously, the early voting is, we're going to have about 11% turnout totally for this election. I co-sponsored, actually, I was the lead sponsor to issue a charter amendment on the ballot this year to allow 18-year-olds to sit on the city council, and an opportunity to allow folks to get involved in much more early age. There's a vacuum of leadership behind us. Once I would leave office, I would want to make sure that the person that followed me in office would be able to continue the momentum I have started in the district and over the last 15 years. And the gentleman from the Green Party mentioned about the highest voting turnout in 2004, 70% turned out for the general election, mayoral general election in 2004. That's because I sponsored that legislation, had it passed back in 99 to move the Baltimore City cycle to the federal cycle. Actually, I put two bills in 99, one to move the city cycle to the state cycle, move the city cycle to the federal cycle. I didn't have the support to move it to the city cycle among my colleagues, but we moved it to the federal cycle, and actually I saved $2 million that year and a 70% turnout. That's because it was my legislation that passed to put
and
the
so
charter.
So why are we voting right. A standalone election this year?
Because Ms. Councilwoman Ricky Spector turned it over because of the 14-month gap between a primary and a general election. A 14-month gap, folks criticized me early on and said, why did you know about the 14-month gap? Well, I did know about the gap because it wasn't the language in the annotated code of the primaries. The legislature controls the primaries of the city. The voters control the general election. When we moved the general election from 2003 to 2004 through the charter amendment, at that time the language said that the primary for Baltimore City will be the first Tuesday or the second Monday in September of the year, the municipal general election. The primary should have moved to 2 months that early. But look, Council President, well, I mean, but, hold on, Bobby, Bill. Hold on. I'm talking
this
to you.
This year, Bobby. This
I'm
year.
I'm talking, because it was turned over by Ricky Spector's and also voted on by to move it back to our own independent cycle. I didn't control that. I voted against it. I was responsible for having the turnout in 2004 because we moved to the federal cycle. You need to check your records, Bill, before you talk.
Whoa. Well, you know, it's very interesting. This conversation is clearly kind of escalated a little bit. You know, Councilman, respectfully, Bill Berry had something to say here during the course of this conversation, and this is another reason why I'm running, because it seems that the people who are in office do not want to listen. And this conversation in itself has been a prime example of that. In regards to term limits, it's very funny, Councilman, how you danced around that, and you did not answer whether or not you support term limits. Honestly,
I would support term limits, but not two terms. No.
What would you support?
I worked with Councilman Bill Henry. We talked about this. He'd like to put in something for four terms.
For
the council people, and three terms for the executive department, which is the mayor and the council president.
Four terms.
Yes.
That's quite a long time. I support two terms, a council limit. That's been made available on my website, and I've been stating that since the beginning of this campaign.
Let's return to the phones. 410-319-8888. And Dan, you're on the air.
I have a quick question for all three candidates. I guess if you could, just give me three words that describe how you would deal with crime in our district.
Gary Collins, you're up first.
Split the district. The Northeast Police District is one of the largest police districts. I believe it's Sector 3 is the Northeast District, rather, as a whole, is 17 square miles. I've been out with some of our officers on several midnight shifts, several mid shifts as well. It's insane. Basically, if you're at one end of the district and there is a Signal 13 that goes out, you know, they basically have to haul all the way to, you know, the other side of the district. The district needs to be split.
Bobby Curran.
You fed right into me on that, Gary, because actually it's Sector 2, not Sector 3. Sector 3 is down lower.
I said Northeast.
But you said Sector 2, and actually it is Sector 2 that is the largest sector in the city and has the second leading volume of calls for service outside of Eastern District Sector 1. Sector 2 goes from the Alameda on the west, over to Blair Road on the east, County Line in the north, and Argonne Drive. Has seven posts that call for cover Sector 2. Every police commissioner we've had, in the last five police commissioners, every major northeastern knows that I've taken the lead in trying to get Sector 2 broken up. You mentioned about the 911 callers. I'm going to tell you outright, I've had maybe 100 people comment on me on that. Two of them said it was inappropriate. Said he shouldn't tell the lie to
you
police.
Know what?
Wait a minute, let me finish,
okay,
Gary.
Sure.
Let me finish. Now, you talked about interrupting, now let me finish.
Okay, absolutely.
And 98% of those people said, you know what? You just told the truth. We're not here to solve sugarcoat something. You said you told the truth. We know we're underserved in Sector 2. It is 17 square miles. If you check my literature, you might have got it right off of that. But I've been an advocate for breaking that up. And this 911 call thing, I've got additional resources now up in Sector 2. Sector 2. That's Sector 1 where Chum is. Mary Pat Clark always battles for Sector 1 and Chum. Sector 2 now has additional resources. We have the initiative where we now can do a phone-in call for service for minor things. We need a report. You can do it over the phone with the desk personnel at Northeastern. And we also have four extra cars now in Sector 2. Sector 2, not Sector 3, Sector 2, that now have because results. Squeaky wheel gets the grease a lot of times if you're a mechanic. And I just spoke up and I got some results. And that's what your council person is to do, get results.
For the record, if I may add to that, I said the Northeast Police District. The Northeast Police District is 17 square miles, Councilman. Sector 1, Sector 2, Sector 5, it doesn't matter. I'm speaking about the Northeast Police District, 17 square miles. Additionally, with that, you know, again, it's just, I'm sure the callers who are on the line and the listeners hear the arrogance. You know, even further with the 911 call, I am surprised for somebody who's been in the city council for 15 years, you understand that when a 911 call goes out on the air and there's a gun involved, every officer is trained to go to that scene with ready to do whatever is necessary to de-escalate that. So you're putting the public at risk, you're putting officers at risk, you're putting everybody in that situation at risk by making a suggestion to say there's a gun involved when there never, ever is a gun involved in a situation. It is preposterous.
Well, just
I do want to give Bill a chance to respond. Bill?
Well, let me take off on a whole different track. I guess one of the things about the councilman, if he has been in office and he hasn't, in fact, why hasn't the district been broken up? But I believe in crime prevention. And I think the city council, by closing rec centers, by cutting counseling, things like that, is simply creating another generation of young people who are going to get in bad situations. You need employment opportunities. I think there should be a Green New Deal. Put people to work on high-tech solar stuff in the city so that they don't have to steal in order to survive. I think there needs to be community policing. It needs to be more citizens on patrol, more activity. I think prevention of crime, though, locking them up, prevention, not incarceration, is one of my slogans. You're going to build a $100 million juvenile jail downtown and closing rec centers. I mean, it just does not compute.
We're going to have a brief break. When we come back, we're going to go to, we have an email we have to read from Nick. There is callers up in this order. But Clarence, hold on, we're going to come to you. Yvette, Maria, and Camilla, who just hung up. You have a question about rec centers. You want to call back, we want to hear that question. 410-319-8888, as we have a conversation between the three men who would represent the 3rd Councilmatic District in this city. Bobby Kern sits there now, Bill Berry, the Green, Gary Collins, the Republican. Stay with us, we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Even if you're a first or second time homebuyer in Baltimore, there are many opportunities awaiting you. Call 1-800-638-7781. That's 1-800-638-7781. Or you go to steinershow.org. You can click You can click on the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development's banner. All the information is there as well. We're having a discussion between the people who are running to become the next city council representative from the 3rd Councilmatic District. Bobby Curran is here, Democrat who's held that seat since 1995. Pardon me. Bill Berry is here. He's Director of Labor Studies at the Community College of Baltimore and the Green Party candidate for 3rd District seat. And Gary M. Collins is with us, a Republican Party candidate for 3rd District as well. 410-319-8888 is the number. I'm going to read this email. And Clarence, Yvette, Camilla, Maria, here we come. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's start with this question, because he wrote in the very beginning of the show. Nick McDaniels writes in, I live in the 3rd District with my wife and young daughter. I'm also a Baltimore City high school teacher. I noticed, while current Democratic leadership sits by and watches and sometimes contributes, that our school infrastructure is crumbling. Our schools are closing and the class sizes are going up. As a teacher, I am resilient against these attacks on public education because I have to be a support to my students. But as a parent, I am deeply concerned about the direction our city council and the school board is taking our public school system. Why has the current councilman sat and watched as schools and rec centers are underfunded and closed? And what will the other candidates do to fix the situation? And we start this round with Bobby Kerr.
First of all, I want to just set the air straight before I answer the question. There's not a level of arrogance that my opponents sort of perceive. I've worked in a lot of elections, as you know, Mark, and listeners know. If you don't exhibit that fire in the belly to get out there and promote yourself and promote your campaign and contest misinformation, and then you're a very weak leader if everyone gets elected. And I fight for my constituents as hard as I fight for myself on this radio program. So it's not a level of arrogance. It's that fire in the belly. And I'm not going to have malaise sit into my candidacy. To answer the question, we're $2 billion behind in school repairs and school construction. And you talk about rec centers in the 3rd District, Northwood Rec Center, North Hartford Road, Playground, Rec Center, and Woodhome. These are rec centers in the 3rd District, which have maybe some cutback hours, but the rec centers that are closing, unfortunately, are really cut back or underutilized. And Mayor Steffi Wandsbrake is trying to get some private partner leadership, you know, leadership to take over the rec centers, certain men in rec centers. I know I'm very conscious of Bishop Miles and the Build Group, especially their leadership on the rec centers. Folks got to realize that the Recs and Parks is fully funded by the general fund. Health department has a lot of funds coming in from grants. The police department has money coming in from grants. Housing has money coming in from grants. But Recs and Parks is strictly general funds. And in order to maintain the current level of service for the rec centers, would we hear from the folks that says, we know no more taxes, we don't want the bottle tax, we don't want this. So it has to be a balancing act. And I'm proud in the 3rd District that we've maintained the rec centers the best we can because they're utilized. Obviously, in other parts of the city, the rec centers are underutilized, and sometimes underutilized, you don't get the bang for your dollar. So I'm proud about the rec centers in the 3rd District.
Bill Berry, Green Party.
Fundamental issue of raising revenue in the city and the untouchables that nobody wants to talk about are these pilots that the council has endorsed. And I'm looking at a list here that was on the Baltimore Brew website. A good investigative reporter, Mark Reuter, did it. Hundreds of millions of dollars of tax giveaways. And nobody will go after them. The council will go to the police officers and demand pay cuts. They'll go to the firefighters and demand pay cuts. They'll go to the city workers and take pay cuts and furlough days. They will not go to these developers. And that is my main campaign. There is money there for the rec centers, for the police, to fix that crumbling school infrastructure that the emailer talked about. And the emailer is a classic kind of person. That's the person we want to keep in the city, a person with young kids and young families. And over, I have seen families where the kids are 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, and people are looking at houses in Harford County because the schools are not there. Taxes don't drive them out. Crime doesn't drive them up. The schools do. And we got to put money into the schools. We got to pay the teachers. And we got to provide the resources. And the stuff is there at the harbor to do it. The council just won't go after them.
Gary Collins, Republican.
To Nick's email, you know, I too am greatly concerned about the public city school system. At the beginning of my campaign, I made a statement. I've stood by this statement throughout my campaign. We need to elect a school board of commissioners. It starts at the top. These people are appointed by the governor. And these people basically have a free, clean ride to basically do whatever they want. Just to go back on the topic of arrogance that the councilman brought forward, humbly, in my opinion, to make a comment about Andy, who was a caller before, and to make a comment about Shirley, who was a caller before, and again, to make a statement to say, they are orchestrated people when, by all means, they're average citizens, the average Joe who's an average caller and average listener. To make that statement that they're orchestrated, to me, that's arrogance.
We have a lot of people calling in, so let me do this. Folks, I promised this order, but I'm going to switch just because I told Camilla she called back. She could have a question because she waited a long time, which is why she hung up. So it's Camilla, Clarence, Yvette, in that order, and the rest. We're going to get to as many of you as we can. 410-319-8888. Camilla, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
My concern is the Department of Recreation. I keep saying on the panel that, y'all care about the recreation centers and schools. But to me, that's all talk. I mean, how do we know for sure that y'all will do something for the kids in the community to help?
I can say one thing, and it used to be that I was the only candidate. I don't know if any of this. I have 2 children, 2 boys in the public schools. And I don't know if anybody on the council has kids in a public school. For a long time, there was nobody with kids in the public school. So this is an absolute personal interest to me. We have participated. I've coached at rec centers all my life. My knees are bad as a result. So I've had kids. I've raised kids in the city. And I feel it. I'm absolutely committed to it.
In regards to the Department of Recreation, Camellia, it is kind of interesting because it's kind of a error that the city council has. They say one thing and then they do another. They say one thing and do another. And the councilman, I'm not quite sure, is you know, concerned about our rec centers and concerned about after-school programs. You know, I agree. We need to have after-school programs. We need fun after-school programs to keep the kids active in our community. And we have to fund our Department of Recreation to keep our rec centers and after-school activities available.
Bobby Curran, Democrat.
Well, I'm certainly am concerned about rec centers, but I'm concerned about, and all politics is local, I'm concerned about the rec centers in the 3rd District. As I mentioned before, rec centers in other parts of the cities are closed because of underutilization. I fought hard to keep the rec center hours open up at North Hartford Playground, working with Rex and Parks. The rec centers in the 3rd District are well utilized, and they won't be closing, and their hours won't be cutting back because this councilman won't allow that. When you work with the administration, as I have with Mayor Stephanie Rollins-Blake, you get the attention of the department heads, and I fight for my constituents. I fight for my rec centers, and I will continue to do that if I'm able to carry on. Just to mention that on the city council, Council President Jack Young is going to have Rex and Parks become a standing committee. I've asked the council president to put me on that committee, and I will. I won't be chair, but I will be on the committee. I will be chair, if reelected, I'll be chair of the health committee and chair of the labor committee. Two standing committee issues that are very important to me. I've always had the endorsement of labor groups over the years, so I will continue to in that stead. But Rex and Parks will be a standing committee of city council from Jack Young's leadership, and I hope he'll be part of it.
Let's go to Clarence in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Problems that we've already known that your guests have just described to us have been known to the public for a long time. Now, my question to both of them is, when you have a voting public that seemingly has no recourse to direct public, the government, the local government, in the direction that it wants it to go, as opposed to the direction that the council president and the local government has said it's going to go, what are you planning to do, or how will you effect the change? In an example being is, we don't want tax write-offs to the corporations and the developers. We want that money coming back into the city. How will you change these things?
That's a really good question. We'll start this one off with Republican candidate Gary Collins.
You know, the fact of the matter is we have to keep the money within the city boundaries, and that's why I support, providing grants for entrepreneurs, people who have a dream. The small business is what really is going to bolster the economy here in Baltimore City. The fact of the matter is we really don't need to be giving tax breaks to mega corporations and mega land developers. What we need to be doing is providing tax incentives for people to go into business for themselves and provide a economic base for the city.
Democrats.
Well, when you talk about, first of all, you talk about the, and I've always been angered that we don't have enough of the economic tools up in Northeast Baltimore that is portrayed downtown with the TIFs and the POWITs. Belvedere Square was an example that when we had a multi-member district, then Councilman O'Malley, then Councilwoman Joan Carter Conway, Councilwoman Mead Church, we fought to get Belvedere Square revitalized, but it was an economic tool, the TIFs and the POWITs that helps Belvedere Square become what it is today. So we need to get some resources in the outer harbor versus always in the inner harbor. So I'm supportive of continuing to support those kind of TIFs and POWITs as long as we get them up here in Northeast Baltimore too. And that's an issue that I've been working on, and we've gotten some results in Northwood Shopping Center when it gets redevelopment to the satisfaction of the community of the Hill and Road Improvement Association, Original Northwood, where I live, will be proud of that. So I think that these economic tools are needed. People will talk about, well, look, we spent millions to build a stadium, but you never know how much the pride that is in civic pride to have the stadium there and have the Orioles, unfortunately, on harder times now, but the Ravens make us a civic pride. So you can't measure civic pride. And when you help the developers get the hotels, when a tourist industry is very vital to this town and brings in money from outside the area into the area, you need that. So we're looking forward to the next big issue for development downtown is a new arena. We, the Civic Center, or Rushmore Arena now, Civic Center, I'm showing my age, is the next big issue. How do we develop that? We're talking about maybe putting it down somewhere in the Middle Branch area, somewhere down there to draw some folks in too. One of the things that no one's mentioned here is that we don't have a slot emporium here. Prairieville has it. Ocean City has it. Why can't Baltimore get that on track here and bring in those monies, the gambling dollars, the drying up gambling dollars, into the city of Baltimore? That should have been the first slot emporium built. I think gambling is a wrong way to fund all our programs, but it's the nature of the beast. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Delaware, all our surrounding areas have it, so we need to have it.
Green Party candidate Bill Berry.
Well, I have to say, I think a lot of this discussion is fundamental. I don't think pilots and TIFs pay off. And the state, you know, you can't spend civic pride. And I think it's great. People who are Ravens fans, stadiums are money losers in every city. Every city. The economics are bad. And in the past, where the economy, you could pick it up with federal money or state money, you could live with it. Now you can't. We are losing vital city services. 30,000 people have left the city. We have 40,000 abandoned houses. There's something going on, and we talk about people who have been in office. They have a record. I don't want to hear what might happen or I could do this. I want to know what has been done, because you base your future on what you've done in the past. And so I think that tourism is not a great base for economy. I think we need to have a economy based on renewable energy, build factories, workshops, small businesses, whatever, but put people to work in Baltimore City. Build the schools, create the rec centers and the quality of life stuff. People will not only stay in the city, they'll move into the city.
410-319-8888, and we go to Maria in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Maria Allwine, and as you know, I've run for office before myself, and I do live in the 3rd District and have run here in the 3rd District. And, you know, I want to make two points, one of them about Mr. Curran's arrogance. Actually, I've had some of the worst experiences of any of the campaigns I've run with Mr. Curran being so rude and really behaving very badly, so that even some of his own supporters were appalled at his behavior at forums. And, you know, it is true that the Democrats, especially here in Baltimore, are very hostile to those of us who are progressives. And we run to the left of them, you know, because we are grassroots activists, and we do care about the people that we want to vote for us and that we hope to represent. The other point is, Mr. Curran talks about how he fights for his constituents. Well, when we had that, 5 feet of snow a couple of years ago, I called Mr. Curran because we hadn't seen a snowplow up in Hamilton for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of people here, elderly, that we were helping, couldn't get out of their homes. We were having enough trouble as it was, shoveled our streets ourselves. And when I called him, he called me back and said, call 311. Well, guess what? That's the wrong answer. So it took my call to Anne Marie Dorey, actually, who was one of our state representatives, who finally got the snowplows here. So I don't call that fighting for your constituents. I call that absolutely doing the opposite. We just need new people. We need people from the Green Party who are actually truly progressive and know what this city needs. It's time for new faces on the city council, to make the city council accountable to the citizens of Baltimore, and to really strengthen the city council, because right now it is a rubber stamp, and that needs to change.
Democrat Bobby Curran first.
Thank you, Mark. It's unfortunate that Maria has some selective memory about arrogance and in forums, because I was there and in a forum, a council president forum up at Good Sam Hospital for the primary back in 07. It was a primary for the council president. Whether she best burst into the room and just commanded a seat at the table up there, because She wasn't part of that. She was running for council president on a Green Party slate, and they would have been for the general election. This was a primary debate, and she just busted in. Anna May was, Channel 13 was the moderator, and we were all just astonished at of her just busting in and sitting at the table and saying, I'm here, I'm part of this debate, when she wasn't invited.
She's running for office, so why shouldn't she be part of the debate?
Well, she was a Democratic primary debate at the time, Bill. So she has a little selective memory about arrogance. And when she called me about the snow thing, I told her to call 311 and give me the SR number. And that's the process we do with constituent complaints sometimes. You get an SR number, a tracking number, and then I go up to CityStat and to the agency head and say, I need to move on this tracking number, 123456, whatever it is. So that's a tool that we use in city council. But so I just want to mention that Mr. Allwine has some selective memory.
We have just in the interest of time, I want to make sure we get to everybody here to answer these questions. And let's go over to Republican Gary Collins.
Sure. Maria actually brought something very interesting. Was this before, Councilman, or after you actually had your private street plowed with taxpayers' dollars when she called?
I just want to mention that. I'm glad you brought that up, Gary. I don't live on a private street. I live on a street not owned by the city, but for public use. Okay. And being that we are afforded the same rights as any citizen living on a street owned by the city. So it's not a private street. Get it straight. Do your facts. And secondly, I didn't get a snow plow on that street until 72 hours after the snow stopped back and then. So
Councilman, you know, it's very interesting. I live on Evergreen. I never got a snow plow, ever, the entire winter. But you managed to do something for yourself. You know, it is arrogance. I really encourage you, Councilman, to listen to, after we conclude this broadcast, listen to the recording, and you might be shocked at what you might hear.
Green Party candidate Bill Berry.
Well, I have said I'm running for office for two reasons. One, to make sure my street gets plowed, and two, to have a Grand Prix in Northeast Baltimore so all the streets will get paved.
Let me ask a question here before we run out of time and get back to our calls if we can here, which I'm going to try to do with Hank and Leslie hanging on. There's a lot of argument. I went to a conference this weekend. There were foreign people around the country here at the Fair Development Conference that took place with United Works and a bunch of other groups and Unite Here, the union. And one of the things they talk about is that should all new developments in downtown Baltimore be forced to pay a living wage to their employees, whether it's the ESPN zone or anything else. Should that be part of the contracts? And they say, we'll put them out of business, but I'm curious. And we'll start. This starts with you, very quick answers to Green Party candidate Bill Berry, and then to Republican candidate, and then to Democratic candidate.
Absolutely. It's not going to put ESPN out of business to pay a living wage. In fact, I would propose a $12 city minimum wage for any business over 20 people. We got to put money in the pockets of the people who work in the city of Baltimore, because then they can buy stuff.
Republican Gary Collins.
You know, Keynesian economics teaches us that by imposing a higher minimum wage, that the fact of the matter is that it creates more unemployment and it creates less people. Well, I mean, this is economics. I mean,
another debate
argue
for another time.
So, but you know, the fact of the matter is you know, a higher wage would definitely more than likely bankrupt these organizations.
A Democrat, Bobby Kearns.
It's ironic you mentioned Unite Here. Roxy, the president of that, knows that I was the swing vote to bring about the issue with the folks at the convention center and the hospitality folks that they represent to bring about getting more of the gratuities that the people pay to actually go to the workers. And you talk about the living wage. I'm one of seven council members, and this is where I say you have a record of that I can be proud of, who co-sponsored and signed a bill out of committee to have the living wage bill, Mary Pat Clark's bill. We needed one more vote to get it out of committee, to sign a bill out of committee, but I was one of those seven, and that's why I receive a lot of union support. That's why Unite Here supported me in the primary. That's why the Metropolitan Council, AFL-CIO, supported me in the primary, and I'm proud of my union record.
So how much time we have left here, guys? We have 1 minute. So I want to thank all the candidates for being here today.
Too bad it's not a two-hour show.
Too bad.
We could fill it.
We could. A Green Party candidate, Bill Berry. Republican candidate Gary M. Collins, Democratic candidate Bobby Kern, for being here in the studio today.
Thank you, Mark, and thanks EAA and Morgan for having us. Right.
It's been great, and I hope that this give you some enlightenment out there to know who to vote for and who you'd want to see as your next city council person in the 3rd District. And let me encourage you all, folks, go vote.
Amen.
You have to vote.
Absolutely.
It's your city. So we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we are going to jump in to a conversation about Occupy, the Occupy movement around this country with folks from Baltimore, Oakland, and Boston. First, we'll hear a little bit from Richard Scherr, who I think wants to promote his show because Anthony McCarthy and I are on it this weekend, I think, or maybe it's the weekend after. Who knows? We'll find out in a minute. Stay with us. Don't go away.